to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And I get so excited over our guests, and we have just an amazing person. Every time I see him and his wife, I just get filled with just the love of the Lord, you know, because you are the light of Christ. This is Richard Hopkins, who is vice president for East San Gabriel Valley for the homeless. And you are a true evangelist, a true warrior for Christ. It is awesome to have you on the show, Richard.
Thank you, Steve.
It's wonderful. And what a background you have, coming from Chicago, one of five children. Father was a judge. And tell us about your faith journey, though. I mean, are you cradle Catholic?
Yes, I am.
And when did you find just this fire for the Lord? Was it all at once or was it more gradual?
No, I would have to say, we came out here in 1956 as my father had a job transfer, and my mother had an uncle who was a Monsignor in the Chicago Diocese. He wrote a letter that he gave to my father to get us into school. I was 6 years old, and I was raised basically in Catholic education at St. Bruno's in Whittier, California. My brother and I have a twin brother, started in first grade, and we got into a gang. I say a gang primarily because we started serving Mass. Ultimately, we had about 144 altar boys at St. Bruno's, which is fairly
wow.
Loud. And one of the benefits was sometimes going into school maybe about a half hour late because we would serve either the 6:30 or the 8 o'clock Mass. So we'd had our breakfast afterwards, and so we could get into school. But it was wonderful. We had one particular priest. His name was Father Rainey. And I can recall one time we had all of us in the parish hall, and he had brought two cans of whipped cream, thinking that he was going to use them on us. But, you know, obviously that didn't happen. It more or less happened to him. But as we went through school, we graduated in eighth grade. And out of that eighth grade, we had 10 guys go into the minor seminary.
Wow.
In San Fernando, which is no longer it was called Queen of Angels. And we started with 150, graduated with 63. Out of that 63, 44 went up to the college, and we had a class of 83 who graduated with 33. And out of that group, 12 guys got ordained. I left after getting my degree in philosophy with a minor in English. Things changed, and so I got acquainted with the world a little bit more than I had. My degree was in philosophy with a minor in English.
How long have you been married now?
I was married for almost 20 years. My wife passed away, and I have a daughter, Elizabeth. So I had a responsibility of assuming more responsibility as far as the business. We operated four KFC restaurants. I had a house to take care of and a daughter to get her into high school, and she went to, I believe it's Yerba Linda. I can't remember the name of the school, but it was a Catholic girls' school. And so I was a widower for 8 years, and needless to say, I'm so glad I had a fairly religious background. And in doing so, it maybe even further embraced the Lord and wanting to know what my direction was. The rest of my family, I come from four boys and one girl. Mom had to go through the dirt to get her gold daughter. But everybody scattered, and I was the only one here in Southern California. My mother had three small strokes and then a big one. And even though my dad was a judge, he didn't have a trust. I got the trust together 4 days before my mother passed. So I assumed all the responsibility as far as their home and finances and being the executor of the trust. And
so you've been incredibly busy doing all kinds of family things. And then what kind of career did you have?
Well, initially, I learned a little bit about finance, became a real estate broker. But the ups and downs of the industry did not appeal to me. I got more into financial planning, so I was learning more about working with business owners, with Cigna Individual Financial Services.
Now, you strike me as someone who has been really on fire for Jesus. Has that been gradual, or is that, was there anything that happened to you that kind of flipped the switch?
I've never let go.
Mm-hmm.
If anything else, I assumed more excitement about scripture, spiritual reading. I read the Chaplet of Divine Mercy and pray that. I do the rosary every day. I go to Mass 6 days a week. I've got plenty of spiritual reading.
Awesome. And we're here with Richard Hopkins, who again is vice president for the East San Gabriel Valley Coalition, basically, of homeless. And he is someone who has really made a huge difference in helping the homeless and really making a difference in the church. The title of this show is Homeless, Not Helpless. And the bottom line is this. We have been called, my brothers and sisters, you have been called to make a difference. It's interesting as you look at Matthew 25, and Matthew 25 has got these parables, the parable of the virgins that first of all talks about, are you ready to meet the Lord? If the Lord comes today, do you feel like you're prepared? And some of the virgins were and some were not. And then it has a parable of the talents. How are we using our time, talent, and treasure? And of course, the parable of the judgment of the nations, the sheep and the goats, in which Jesus tells us, for I was hungry and you gave me food, thirsty you gave me drink, a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, ill and you cared for me, in prison and you visited me. And that basically means that how are we taking care of our brothers and sisters? Do we walk past them? Do we ignore them? The homeless is something that in our incredibly wealthy society, one could argue that there shouldn't be homeless, you know, that we should take care of them. Tell us about the homeless in East San Gabriel Valley, how many of them are, and just kind of enlighten us about what you know.
Well, I'll expand it in the Los Angeles County. There's a regional count that occurs in January, late January, and as of the past year in January, it was about 53,000. In the San Gabriel Valley, there are 4,000. It's sad. Many of the situations that they are in are somewhat familiar with the situations here in Orange County as well.
And, you know, this is something, my brothers and sisters, that so many of us are aware of to a certain extent, but not really. And I think one of the big revelations for me is this concept of the working poor, in which they may be housed in some way in some motel or whatever for a period of time, but then they hit the streets because they run out of money. And you think, well, these people are not necessarily working and so forth. They have three jobs, you know, and they're trying to do their best, but it is so expensive in Southern California to live. Is that what you're finding? And elaborate on that, please.
In the Los Angeles, or I guess Orange County as well, there are about 19% of the population that are suffering from homeless. It may be for a period of time, a short period of time, middle range, or even long term, but there are a variety of different reasons why they are homeless, and I presume we'll get into that.
Well, let's get into it now.
Okay. Sometimes, well, you were talking about having jobs. Not all homeless are not working, but the problem is that the cost of rents are still climbing. There's discussion of whether or not we're going to have rent control. It's going to be debated. But say, for instance, if a car is broken for that individual or behind payment, they're not going to be able to do work. There are family problems, lack of child support, marriages going wrong, drug and alcohol problems, depression, low wages, poverty, there's no love, meaning, or purpose in life, divorce, job losses. You know, companies are going through various turmoils. Here in the L.A., or actually California, there have been about 9,000 jobs that are, or companies that have left the state. Mental illness is part of it because not being loved or cared for, they can become depressed and get into alcohol and drugs. Domestic violence, and then you have veterans who have post-traumatic stress, loss of a public assistance programs or physical disabilities. And then sometimes, like, for instance, college kids are homeless. And so they try to get jobs and be able to work, but sometimes they lose their incomes, and as a result, it affects the people that they're living with. And then bad credit.
So many times, Richard, people don't understand how many of the homeless are women and children. Tell us about that.
Well, I'll give you an example. The East San Gabriel Valley Coalition last year We had 1,230 people who we housed in a winter shelter. Of that 1,230, 300 were women. And I have to believe that it's because a variety of reasons. But one of the reasons is that perhaps they are not being taken care of, or maybe they did not provide proper legal assistance when maybe a spouse had passed away and maybe they had to go through probate. Any number of different reasons, but the ages of many of these people who are homeless are increasing.
As we mentioned before in Matthew 25, we see that this is our responsibility when we see our brothers and sisters that are in need, that are hungry, that are homeless, needing our love and our support. We need to say yes. And we take a look at James and James 2 in this famous chapter on faith and works. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says that he has faith and does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister has nothing to wear, has no food for the day, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and do well, but you not give them the necessities of the body, what good is it? So also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You know, it's really easy to say, well, I'm going to pray for you. And yet so many people are living paycheck to paycheck. And then all of a sudden they get let go. And they're in a position where they have no reserves. And people that were living in, you know, they may be renting an apartment or even renting a house or even owning a house. And then the next thing you know, they're out in the street.
They're spending about 45 to 50% of their income on housing. And sometimes they have to cut short on various important needs, certainly maybe not being able to provide for their retirement, saving. Any number of different of issues would get them in that situation. So, you know, we have to do some things in the state, such as building more homes. Governor Brown is advocating that homes now have solar, which will increase the expenses, although it will save money in the long run, but still it adds up into the cost of the house.
My brothers and sisters, you can make a difference. We're going to talk more about that. We are with Richard Hopkins talking about homeless, not helpless, and you are empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We are here at beautiful Christ Cathedral. Come see this incredible campus. And we are here to make a difference. And our guest is someone that makes a difference each and every day. He is Richard Hopkins, and he lives in the San Gabriel Valley and is part of Vice President for East San Gabriel Valley Coalition for the Homeless. And he is making a huge difference in making a difference with those that are in most need of love, most need of our help. And the title of this show is Homeless, Not Helpless. Not hopeless, rather, because there is hope. And they're not helpless either, because they have the ability to say yes to the love of Christ, right?
Correct.
And when they open up their hearts, they are not hopeless anymore. And Christ is there through us. What are some of the problems that the homeless experience, Richard?
Well, one of the biggest ones is personal insecurity, noise, no privacy, especially when sleeping. This is particularly an aspect or characteristic of a lot of the women, because they have to hide. Many homeless sleep under bridges or in the woods, doorways of businesses. You'll find them sometimes in industrial areas. They sleep on public benches with all their belongings, either in a shopping cart, behind buildings. They're in bus shelters, building hallways. They also have problems living in the outdoors. There are wound and skin infections. They have suffer from bronchitis or pneumonia. They have to watch their bedding, their clothing and possessions, because sometimes they steal from each other. They may have to carry and protect all their items all the time. They have bad hygiene, no shaving areas or toilets available, and they're not permitted to be able to go sometimes into bathrooms, whether it be at a gas station or some other facilities. They're basically boycotted. They have nowhere to or capability of cleaning or drying their clothes. Some businesses prevent them from going into these areas. They have little or no food, so not having much income, they have to buy their food or their water in small quantities. It reminds me of the fact that we take so many things for granted if we're living in a home. So keeping contacts is difficult because they're moving around. If they want to get a job and be able to get employment, sometimes they're not available or information can't get to them.
Because there's no address, there's no way to contact them,
no,
right?
That's
Which
right.
Always been a real problem, and we've dealt with our ministry and trying to employment initiative, trying to get people jobs, and they'll go, I can't be contacted, and we have to come up with a solution for that.
That's true. Other aspects are community hostility. There's a word for a group that is called NIMBYism, not in my backyard.
Right.
And so as a result of that, it may be a community or maybe a segment of a community that does not want them around because, frankly, they don't really know them and mm-hmm. what their problems are. So there are problems with NIMBYism in various communities everywhere. Here in Orange County, there was a group of individuals who wanted to put them in a canyon. And fortunately, there was a judge who did not want to have that occur.
And you know, many of them or a number of communities actually somehow get them to Hawaii, because Waikiki, I don't know if you've been there or not, but I've seen the homeless there is just staggering.
Right.
Because of the warm weather. But yeah, so keep going.
Speaking of which, about warm weather, this summer has been extremely hot, and sometimes it can be very unnerving. Some of them don't have any sleeping blankets or whatever, so they could be subject to mosquitoes or any number of different types of elements in that regard. But even in the winter, it can rain.
And it can get cold, right? I mean,
easily.
The 30s and early, you know, low 40s and certainly all kinds of things can happen, to your point about rain. And how can we as Catholics, as really good Catholics and striving to be holy, how can we turn our backs on them? I mean, it's so important. And yet, you know, there are a lot of people who feel guilt saying, well, I can only do so much and I'm helping out my family and I'm helping out this charity and this and whatever. And how do you answer that? I mean, how do you answer people that basically say, well, I'm already doing some things and I can't do everything and so forth? Any thoughts around that?
There are a lot of things it can do. They don't have to be necessarily in my position. There are a variety of different groups. Churches will have food pantries at our mm-hmm. parish, St. John Vianney in Hacienda Heights. We feed 240 people every Saturday, families. And so that is good. One of the things that I've been delighted to do last year, it came to my knowledge that a lot of the schools are throwing away food in the public schools, which we pay for as far as taxes go. So as of now, we've got about 11 schools that about 10 people have broken them up according to area. And one gentleman is a realtor, and he has a truck, and he picked up 11 boxes full of food and brought them back to the pantry. And they are given to the homeless for breakfast from 8:30 to 1:30. So we get about 40 people a day, Monday through Friday. And so they are grateful. You know, they'll get a shower, bus tokens, a variety of different types of things. We're trying to basically make pastors more aware of what the situation is and see what they can and do to empower the community that they're serving, their parishes, to get more involved.
And one of the things I'm incredibly proud of is Catholic social teaching. And you talk about the dignity of man, dignity of men and women. It's so important that as part of that dignity, that we take care of those in need and make them feel important because they are important. In fact, holiness really comes when we're in their presence. I mean, they bless us by their presence.
There are opportunities for grace.
Opportunities for amazing grace. Now, there's a really sobering statistics, many sobering statistics, but one particular that the homeless die 30 years younger than the average person. Tell us about that.
One of the things that we did about 2 years ago was to have an interfaith homeless memorial service. And I called the county coroner's office, and they gave me a listing of how many people had died. In L.A. County, it was 830 people. 830 people.
Wow.
We've had tragedies here in the United States, just not too long in recent time. The southeast of the United States had various storms and tragedies where there were 30. But we're talking 830. Just within the San Gabriel Valley, we had 39 people die. And it covers not just newborn infants, but goes up to maybe 50 on average is the age that many of them will pass. It varies, but it's very enlightening in that regard. But that homeless interfaith service, we were able to recognize them. What typically happens to them, the county will try to contact the families of the individuals who are homeless, but many times they're not able to do so. So they end up being cremated, and they are buried in Boyle Heights in a mass grave, and the only thing as far as identification is the year that they died.
So how do you go about discovering who the homeless, where the homeless is, who they are, and then when you discover them, what do you do?
Well, basically, there are ways of being able to track them. There are what is called CES, Coordinated Entry System, and information is gathered wherever they may be. In our particular case, we do a winter shelter. In the past number of years, it starts December 1st and would go to March 1st. But this year, we're being required to go to March 31st. So we're in the hunt for eight churches. I'm sorry, actually, we're missing one church at this point. We have seven. And the Los Angeles Housing Service Authority provides funds for buses that go to 6 points within the San Gabriel Valley. They bring them to a church designated for a two-week period, and they get a variety of services that they are able to have. So they're not allowed to be on the church property until 5:30 in the afternoon, after which they can check in. They have a card that is given to them that they have to submit. From there, they can have showers. We have a van that will accommodate eight showers. So typically what happens is it's men and women initially, and then once the women are completed as far as their showers, the rest of the men, and we can get up to about 75 showers a night.
Wow.
Then meals are provided for them, clothing. They can pick up clothing. We have dental services as well as medical services, haircuts. And then the community of the church or other organizations provide lunches, and then they have to be off the property on a bus back to where they were picked up.
Is there anything you do for skill development to help them?
No, I'm sorry.
That's not anything that you can do.
No, but one of the things that I'm looking to do personally as well as to advocate, we are basically doing things on a physical basis, and we need to be able to talk to them more on a spiritual basis. At this point, one church will do a scripture reading, and they will comment on that and get them involved in that. But we need to get the clergy more involved as far as, if they are Catholic, that is, to have confessions and other types of services that will help them lift their hearts and minds off the situation that they've learned.
So when I go to Honolulu, which I do periodically, I work with the local Catholic churches there that minister to the homeless various times during the week. But on Saturday mornings, have you been to Honolulu?
Yes, I have.
So do you remember where the aquarium is?
And, no.
Okay, so right at the end of Waikiki, you've got the zoo and you've got the aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
And right by there, the various churches feed the homeless. And they usually get about 100 homeless that show up at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I'm there every time. And one of the things I mentioned to them One of the first times I was there, I've been there a number of times now, and I said, well, does anyone pray with them? Not just one prayer, not just a prayer of grace, but individually.
Mm-hmm.
Do you talk to them? And so I asked them, I said, do you mind if I do that? Because they'll pick up their food, they'll go to a picnic table, because there's a bunch of picnic tables, and they'll sit as a group or sit on the ground, whatever it might be. And so I started doing that, and I would go and I'd ask their name. And it was amazing to me, Richard, that the men and women, they almost all had Christian names. They were John, they were Thomas, they were, you know, one saint after another. They were Mary. I mean, it was amazing to me. And I'd say, do you know who St. John was? You know, and they'd go, well, no, not really. And I'd talk about St. John, and I said, you know, Jesus brought me to you. Do you know who Jesus Christ is and how much he loves you? And some would say yes, and some would say, well, not really. And so I would evangelize with them, and then I'd pray over them, and I'd ask permission. And, you know, the interesting thing in some cases, Richard, I'd say, can you lift up a prayer for me? My daughter has stage 4 cancer. My daughter Laura, please pray for her, by the way. Would you pray for my intentions and pray for this ministry, pray for my daughter, pray for my family, whatever, as I pray for you? And they would lift up amazing prayers. You see, for me, it wasn't just about giving them food. It was about teaching them how much they're loved and that they have value. Their prayers go right to the throne of grace, in my opinion.
Giving them dignity.
Giving them dignity.
One year, I was fortunate enough, I made a contact with the American Bible Society, and they sent me about 100 Catholic Bibles. And I was fortunate, it was a tax deduction for them, but it was a blessing. Many of the people wanted to be able to have these scriptures so they could read. So they had plenty, you know, they have the time to be able to do it, and they need to be inspired to be able to lift themselves off the situation that they're in.
And I really feel when you meet my brothers and sisters homeless in the streets or whatever it is, talk to them, make them feel as important as they really are, because they are important in the eyes of God, and they are your brother and your sister. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You are on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about how you can make a difference in working with homeless.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You are on Empowered by the Spirit, and our title of the show is Homeless, Not Hopeless. And we are with Richard Hopkins, who is on the Coalition for the Homeless for the San Gabriel Valley, and he is making a huge difference with just hundreds and thousands of people that are homeless. And there are so many people that are homeless within the Southern California area. And it is important that we make a difference. Now, we're all taxpayers, and we certainly want the government to make a difference. And tell us about more we can do as citizens, as Catholics, to work with our representatives to really support the homeless more. And what are some of the issues relating to that right now?
I think people have to really go to their city councils and be advocates for the homeless as well, to realize that there are projects out there that can be built if they get support. So letting know the mayor and the city councils know that they are supporting these homeless people to get these places where they can have the support as well as the shelter that they deserve and they need. So that's one thing. Trying to see to get more properties available, seeking the assistance of landlords. Sometimes they are, unfortunately, more advocating for their bottom line than for the people. So there is what is called Section 8 housing capability for various people, but the list is very long at this point. So people are waiting a year, maybe even 2 years, before they can get into something that's worthwhile. And another aspect is safe parking. People are living in cars, vans, RVs, and they're not being allowed to be able to park in some areas and be able to get some of the assistance that they need. I realize that they have to be qualified in the sense of having insurance or having services such as toiletries or even showers or foods. A parish church can provide security, but they need the support of the parishioners in the parish to be able to do this. There is a organization that I was very impressed with called the Santa Barbara Citizens, helping people to be able to provide safe parking. And they have a manual that is 67 pages long that people can get. Unfortunately, they're using it for fundraising purposes, but it's $150. And the manual has assistance as far as dealing with municipalities in the way of changing the municipal code and various things that they have learned over the years to be able to help the homeless at least get by in having the safety. There are people who are emancipated also from safe parking in the sense that they do get the housing. It's not always the case that it's a negative situation.
Now, we talk about mercy, and certainly we are to live a life of mercy. We are to be merciful as Christ has been merciful for us. And as one of the Beatitudes, of course, says, is blessed are the merciful, for they will see mercy. But we're also to be compassionate. Tell us about the difference between mercy and compassion.
Mercy is felt sorrow for another's misfortune. It literally means sorrowful at heart. But mercy is sometimes more than compassion or heartfelt sorrow at another's misfortune. Compassion empathizes with the sufferer, but mercy goes further. It removes suffering. A merciful person shares in another's misfortune and suffering as if it was his own. And such a person will do everything they can in their power to dispel that misery. Each of us is called to be the hands, the heart, mind, and words of Jesus, to be listeners, actively present to others in helping them with their mercy.
And we are called to be merciful, and we are called to make a difference. That is so, so critical. And so people are listening now, you know, in our many stations, and they are basically saying, wow, I want to make a difference. I want to help the homeless. They may want to help you. I mean, what do they do to activate themselves? What would be your recommendations?
We hear of churches and other organizations being able to do this. I would like to see more businesses get involved. I attended a meeting not too long ago in Southern California Gas, which has a great deal of influence as far as that utility was at the meeting. But there's an organization in Paris, France, called La Carillon. And La Carillon has about 170 businesses within the city that basically provides them with decals, letting the business owner decide what type of services they want to provide. So these decals are on the windows of their businesses, and it can be ranging from reading a newspaper or a magazine, using toilets, charging their phones. They even sometimes will order clothing for them if they want to, but they will call an ambulance. They can use a microwave. They can use the bathroom. So basically they're developing a relationship so that rather than excluding them off the business property or outside, they can welcome them and develop that relationship that could lead to other different things.
Which is pretty amazing. And Pope Francis to the World Economic Forum said, do not forget the poor in 2016. And tell us more about Pope Francis and what he says we should do.
He said that the primary challenge before you as leaders in the business world is to provide a means to joy to a decent life. Rather than being concerned with privileges, they must seek to help the poor than themselves to attain a dignified living conditions, and particularly through the development of their human, cultural, and economic social potential. I was involved with a business for about 20 years in a restaurant business, KFC.
I love KFC, by the way, just to throw a little commercial out.
I thought you would.
And I'm very hungry right now, so love the biscuits, too, by the way.
And at any rate, there is a service that restaurants can provide called EBT.
Mm-hmm.
And it provides a discount for or even paying for some of the food in restaurants. But getting back to what we were talking about, we must not allow the culture of prosperity to deaden us, to make us incapable of feeling compassion at the outcry of the poor. Sometimes it's so easy to be indifferent and say another person should be taking responsibility, ignoring them.
Or I'm doing this other ministry, and so therefore I'm going to do nothing.
With many people who, I'll give you an example. Yesterday evening, my wife and I wanted to go to a store. We were there, and this young woman, she had her cart outside full of her things, and she was grateful. I came up to her, and I gave her some funds for her to use for whatever. And she says, you know, you don't have to do this. And I said, no, on the contrary, I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just money, but we have to basically address the hearts and soul of these individuals. And the Pope was saying, do not be afraid to open your minds and hearts to the poor. Give free rein to your economic and technical talents and discover the happiness of a full life, which consumerism itself cannot provide.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just looking at the bottom line of a profit and loss statement.
Mm-hmm.
It's really be able to assist the people where they need to be helped.
You know, and it's so important that we have to have eyes that are opened up. We have to remove the veil from our eyes so that we can see those that are in most need of our mercy, most in need of our help, most in need of our love, and we can make a difference in so many ways. What about St. Vincent de Paul? I mean, that's an organization that I'm part of, and they seem to work with the poor and work with those that are homeless also. And is that an organization that you've worked with? Or
one of the things I've done is to be able to reach out to other faiths. And there's an organization called the San Gabriel Valley Churches Assisting Neighbors Network. And it's made up of a variety of churches. I represent the Catholic Church. So there are two other people. One of the representatives is with St. Vincent de Paul, and they're going to be having a symposium on November 3rd, and they're trying to bring a number of people that will be there at this particular church from 9 to 12. So working together, it was kind of interesting. Last Saturday, I was able to provide some backpacks. A very well-known retailer provided me with 12 cases, 420 backpacks, and we had a meeting with Catholic Charities, a representative, and another lady at a different parish, and I provided them two cases. Tomorrow, there's an organization on the L.A. County Police Sheriff's Department called HOST, Homeless Outreach Services Team, and they have eight deputies. And we're going to be giving out 140 of those backpacks. It may seem a small item, but when you're walking around or being around different places, having some of the things that you have is very nice to have. So these were given to us free.
Well, it's huge. And it's interesting how many businesses will actually help by giving food or giving products or different things that the homeless might need. But we have to ask for them.
That's correct. And they have to have the right attitude, too. One year, there was a company that gave us a number of various things that we needed for a particular parish that we were going to. And they provided paper goods, plates, cups, plastic forks, napkins, bowls, a variety. And they had brought a truck over to our facility that we were at. And so that was really gratefully accepted and was wonderful for them. So I contacted a number of paper good companies that are around, and I was able to get some donations from them. So it was very well appreciated.
What about things like sleeping bags? Is that something that's really needed? Or?
It is. One of the organizations that was involved in our interfaith homeless services was the Selah Temple, which is located in Hacienda Heights. And one night they brought over 100 sleeping bags.
Wow.
Yes. And so, needless to say, there was a long line of people who really wanted to have them.
Yeah. And they make such a big difference. And again, where did they get them, by the way?
I have no idea. What's one of the things I'm going to be hunting for next?
Yeah. You know, but it's interesting to me is I went to and I'll even mention the name Costco and one particular store. I'm not saying that this is a policy of Costco, but I told them what I was doing and working with the homeless, and they gave me all this food, you know, it was maybe day old bread or that whatever it might be, but it was something that was just so fantastic. And when, you know, I had to certify that I was doing that, but bottom line is that people will give, maybe not all the time, but many of them will give, but they just need to know and they need to have someone tell them.
There are businesses out there that do things and there are organizations that, get together. They will have walks, for fundraising purposes. We had a summer gala and there were about 8 businesses that contributed for food. It was a fundraiser, to a degree. And, in my particular case, I picked up some wontons, from the Silai Temple. Dunkin' Donuts gave us some donuts to be able to have for the people there. So
awesome.
There were grocery stores, that helped as well. So it was a,
and so many grocery stores, having grown up in a grocery store, with my father, produce goes, you know, gets old and they can't necessarily sell it. And, you know, but it's still good. There may be opportunities there.
Well, we went to, at St. John's, we have a flatbed truck. And every Saturday or during the week, they'll either go to the Los Angeles Food Center or they, fortunately do, go to Albertsons and Downey, or there's another location, Diamond Bar, and Albertsons gives them food. And
awesome.
We are able to, we're trying to, we lost one supermarket, in Covina. I invited another market chain to come, and hopefully we'll be able to get more food.
This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you're Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about homeless, not hopeless.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gem of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family 4 spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are back on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about homeless, not helpless, with Richard Hopkins, who is part of the Vice President of the Coalition for the Homeless in East San Gabriel Valley. He is making a difference, living out his Catholic faith to be priest, prophet, and king as we're baptized, to make a difference, to love Jesus with all his heart, soul, might, and strength, to love God passionately, but to love his neighbor as himself. And in loving his neighbor, he is not standing by in the sidelines, but he is saying, yes, I'm going to make a difference. And making a difference basically means that you're going to do everything you can, time, talent, and treasure, to help them. And part of that is working with a coalition of people to help you. And I know people are listening in, and some of them located in your area, or perhaps they want to contact something local to them. But how could they get in touch with you?
Our office is located at on the property of St. John Vianney in Hacienda Heights. We have a website. It's called esgvch.org. Our phone number is 626-333-7204. And we have an email address, esgvch@aol.com.
And people can make a huge difference through volunteering or through donating. Tell us more about that.
I have an opportunity to, through the diocese, to be able to speak to 13 principals of Catholic high schools Last year, I had an opportunity to speak to one of the schools, and I'm going to be seeing what I can do to be able to get donations from the schools in the way either funds or various types of things that we will need for the winter shelter. But in addition to that, we are always having or trying to fundraise. We have other services that we provide, transitional housing. Right now, we've got one family that we are working with. It's a woman, and she has three children. There is a service that provides counseling as well as a tutoring for the children, and they go to various places, even libraries or at the homes of people who have the need for studying, improving their children's education. I'm going to be going to October 1st to be able to talk to one of the deaneries in the San Gabriel Valley. They're going to be having a meeting. I'm not going to have a lot of time, but 5 minutes will make a big difference, I think, making them more aware of what the coalition is doing. But transitional housing requires funding. We also have what is called an encore program for the addicted, both alcohol and drugs. And then we have, I mentioned the winter shelter. The transitional housing requires money. At one point, we had two apartments that we were moving people in and out of. Sometimes anywhere that they can get 6 to 9 months, they will give us funds to be able to give return to them so that they can get an apartment. In one case, this one woman saved $9,000. It was obviously something significant in the way of getting an apartment because you're looking at the first and the last month's rent and being able to pay the rent. So she got a job, and that was wonderful. So any opportunities that we have for fundraising, we will take advantage of. Contact our offices. There are various opportunities out there. And
what's the number one more time?
626-333-7204. 626-333-7204. And we also have an attorney who is retired, and he is completing grants that can be submitted from not only communities, various cities, but also various businesses that have provided funds for us in the past.
And are you a 501c3?
Yes, we are.
So that means that they're tax deductible.
That's correct.
And so, and they can, sure, you take credit cards.
We'll take anything that will enable us to help
our
clients.
Yeah, IOUs, and no, I'm just kidding. But,
not yet.
Yeah, not quite yet, but. So you have an opportunity to help this great coalition to help the homeless. You have an opportunity to work within your own area. And I know for a fact that the St. Vincent de Paul that I'm part of at St. Elizabeth Van Seton, to do a shout out for them, do an amazing job working with those that are either homeless, but those perhaps that are really struggling to meet their needs and these very high rents and so forth. And, you know, they go to the food pantry to help them. And I'm sure you probably have a food pantry up there that you
yes,
work
we do.
With. And that makes a huge, huge difference. So there are many, many things that people can do. Now, let's say people are listening in. They want to volunteer. What are some things they could do?
Well, we need a variety of different things for the winter shelter. It's interesting that the various organizations that have provided things. In the way of food, we had a gentleman who represented the Mormon faith. He and a number of people provided the meals. So if they want to donate food, that would be meals, et cetera, that would be tremendous. Obviously, funds. We do get funding from LASA. And this year, because of the length of the time period that we'll be having the winter shelter, we're going to be getting more, so we'll be able to serve. I'm not sure if I had mentioned, but last year it was 1,230 people that we served. So I'm expecting that number is probably maybe even go to 1,500.
So there are many things that people may be able to do. Are there events in which they can feed the homeless? And you mentioned like every week at your parish.
Yes.
So tell us more about those kinds of things.
Well, as I mentioned, we have a truck that goes to the Los Angeles Food Bank, also to Albertsons. But sometimes we need volunteers because certainly during the school year, when we have various canned goods and other different things that need to be distributed from our pantry, we need some assistance as far as being able to serve the time. So the pantry is open at 9 o'clock and closes at 1:30.
On this day of challenges for our church, this day of, you know, reflection as to where we are as a church. I am so proud to be Catholic and so proud what Catholics do for the poor. You know, you look across the world, we're doing this this amazing event in terms of trying to help, and I say amazing because God's at the center of it, in helping the poor, actually in the Philippines, in Manila, in Tondo, 100,000 people living in garbage, basically. And we are working with the local church there to make a difference for them and getting kids off the streets and providing shelter for them and schooling for them. And that's through Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. And if you're interested in any of that, contact us through spiritfilledhearts.org, our website, or deaconsteve@spiritfilledhearts.org, because we're in the process of raising $150,000 to try to support them.
Great.
And that's because Jesus called us to do that. And it's so important that Jesus is going to call you to do something. And more than likely, it's going to be in your backyard. You know, it just so happened that I was called to go to Asia, and I kept saying, are you sure, Lord? Are you sure, Lord? You know, but we do an awful lot in our own backyard in helping the poor, because that's about 90 to 95% is what we do locally. But nevertheless, Jesus may call you to do various things. But it is that calling, and that means prayer. You know, you mentioned, you know, in terms of your own faith life, daily mass, adoration, you know, reconciliation. I mean, you know, we have this call for holiness. And sometimes we skip that part, you know, and I have like 30 books on St. Mother Teresa. And she said, we're not social workers. You know, we bring the light of Christ and we help the poor. But it's so important to understand that we need to build our faith up and be led by the Lord to determine what he wants us to do.
You were talking a moment ago about Hawaii. It's amazing sometimes the people that you will meet in doing this process or working with them, not just the homeless, because they all have stories that are interesting. I had met this one gentleman who was from Venezuela, and he has a sister who is in Venezuela. Venezuela is under terrible circumstances. Children and elderly are not getting the attention that they deserve. I tried to see what I could do on a local basis, and I was not able to do anything. I even went to the Council of Bishops here in the United States. Unfortunately, I was not able to do anything. They do have a bishop there in Venezuela who is doing wonderful work. He's kind of the focal point for all of South America as well. But Venezuela, people are leaving the country in droves because of what's happening there.
Yeah, and there are so many needs worldwide. But again, right here in Archdiocese of Los Angeles and Orange Diocese, San Bernardino, you know, and but across our listening audience, wherever you are, there are amazing, amazing needs that are there. But it's so important that we say yes. Lord, use us. Heavenly Father, may I be used. I empty myself. I surrender my heart to you. I surrender my soul to you. Melt me, mold me, and use me. Use me whatever way you want in Jesus' name. That is a prayer for all of us because God wants to use us. And I've often said, to the extent that we want to be used is the extent that we'll be used.
One of the quotes that I like from Sister Teresa of Calcutta, we often think that poverty is only being hungry, naked, homeless, but the real poverty is being unwanted, unloved, and uncared for. That's the greatest poverty.
And at the end of the day, how can you make a difference? You know, someone once said that, as we know, we can't take material things with us, but what do we take with us? We take the love that we've given and the love that we have received. I want to thank you, Richard, for your yes. I want to thank you for what you do for the poor and the homeless. I want to thank you for making a difference and for being on the show.
Thank you, Steve. I think that at the end of life, we will not be judged by how many diplomas we have received or how much money we've made, how many great things we have done, but we will be judged by, I was serving the hungry, giving them something to eat. They were naked and I clothed them, and homeless I took them in.
Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you and praise you for calling us to make a difference, for loving us, for taking care of our needs. Melt us, mold us, and use us. heal us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. May we be the light of Christ to the poor. May we be the light of Christ to those that we encounter. We say this through the power of the Holy Spirit, the intercession of our Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Guadalupe, through that power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And I bless you with every spiritual blessing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much. We'll be with you next week at the same time. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio. Showing for one night only at a theater near you. A story about the devastating consequences of the sexual revolution and one father's quest for answers.
Have you seen the videos and Instagram posts and ads that young women are fed these days? It's craziness.
From writer-director Don Johnson, a new documentary that uncovers the truth about how we got here.
The gist of Cosmo was hard work and sex without the kids will set you free.
Unprotected, featuring stories and insight from some of today's most articulate Catholic thinkers, including Christopher West and Jennifer Fulweiler. Tickets available now at unprotectedmovie.com.
So glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, we lift your name on high, and we love to sing your praises. We're so glad you're in our lives. We're so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, our debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, we lift your name on high. To show the way, from the earth to the cross, our debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, we lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, our debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, we lift your name on high.